Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The head of baseball operations for the Twins, Derek Falvey's with us in about 10 minutes. Another topic tied to some of the conversations we have with Jason last hour. This one's been popping around the last couple days. Guillaume Rey is a waiter at a place in Vancouver. He filed a complaint against the restaurant's parent company after he was fired for being combative, aggressive, and something of a bully, right? You can't last at him if that's what you're doing. His defense, any guess what his defense is? Did you see this story?
No, okay. He's a bartender or a waiter?
He is a waiter.
His defense. Is it like a personal defense or a... like a atmospheric defense, like
more personal.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say like the location demands it.
You're not far from it. His defense, he's not rude. He contends instead he's French. And his former bosses, you know, are discriminating against his culture and his heritage. I am who I am. That's what he's saying. He's very Popeye like. The argument is a novel one, but with enough traction that one member of the British Columbia Human Rights Tribunal said he deserves a hearing. He wrote in the decision that Rey has to provide evidence about what exactly the stereotype is with respect to people from France. So I suppose you have to go up there and say, well, we'll get to more of the story, we can decide. Even the French have agreed in the past that their service workers could use an attitude adjustment. 2013, the Paris Tourism Board and local chamber of commerce collaborated on an ad campaign to encourage waiters, taxi drivers, and others to be more polite with international guests.
They have that reputation.
Oh, yes, they do. And I only traveled there once, and the time I was there, they lived up to it. They created a website and a six-page booklet, How to Speak, Do You Speak Right to Tourists? Now, a vice president for education at the French Institute Alliance in New York said the line that I'm French, so I'm rude. Well, that's not a defense. He says that Rey contends that he was fired because of his direct, honest, and professional personality and his high standards, which he learned in the French hospitality industry. So let's say you're on the British Columbia Human Rights Tribunal, and I think you could. I mean, I think you could. Why not do it here, right? If he just says, listen, this is how I was raised, and I worked at some of the best restaurants in Paris, and the standard was set, and I'm just bringing this here, and the more I act this way, the better it is for the restaurant. Does he have a chance in this suit?
I think, yes, he does have a chance.
You do. Because you expand. Because I don't think so.
Well,
I mean, to say that I get to be a jackass because people in my country, it's not a jackass. We just have standards and you don't have them here.
But if he can prove that, you know, look, I've worked my entire life with this and that's just who I am.
So it's a little bit like someone who comes to a place and has some characteristic or maybe some limitation.
Well, we talk about it all the time about, you know, the Midwestern mentality or sensitivity as opposed to
right. Well, Lindsay was just talking
East Coast
passive aggressive stuff.
Yes,
right,
and that often leads to a clash.
Lindsay, think about this: it's Ocean Air, and a guy is working there.
Jean-Claude
Kitty. And he's there, and he's being rude to a lot of people. But he says, listen, I'm French. This is the standards that we upheld When I worked at the great restaurants in France, if I continue to act this way, it's only going to bring great customer quality and regard. So I get to act how I want to act.
And you don't.
And you have to accept it. See, I don't think so either.
No, you don't. In fact, if and the likelihood is very high that he had specific training at this restaurant, and there's probably a set of guidelines, a company mantra, whatever you want to, you know, philosophy. And if this doesn't fit into it,
you got to adhere to what they want.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, 100%. You want to do that? Go, what's the place at the Mall of America where they get to be rude to you and they call you names? Go work there.
I know we've had a few of those restaurants before where that's kind of the.
Yeah. Do you like that?
Something Last Stop or what is it? It's up on the
Last
fourth.
Stand?
One of the texters will tell
us. I was just talking about that. There used to be a restaurant in Arizona where you would go, and if you wore a tie, they'd cut your tie off.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I know I've been to a few places where, I mean, the phrase, they don't suffer fools, but they take it even further.
Yeah.
If the food's that great, will you put up with it? I might a few times. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, if it's a shtick, I got no problem with
right.
it. But if they're really jerks,
mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry. You can have the greatest food in the world.
Yeah.
I'm not.
The service does matter. Lindsay, what do you think? The food's great. You love it. But there's just such a condescension.
I'm not coming back. I don't care if it's the best meal I've ever had. I think a good meal includes the service and the atmosphere. And if you can't have that rapport with your server or your bartender, I'm not coming back.
At this point tomorrow, we'll be less than 15 minutes away from the opening pregame show for the regular season Camden Yards. The resurgent Minnesota Twins, off a very successful and unexpected season last year, will start against the Orioles. Corey Provis and Dan Gladden will provide you with the insight tomorrow. And for the 162 regular season games you'll hear all year on the home of the Twins, WCCR Next Guest hopes it more than 162 games. He'd like to see a number of those playoff games also heard on WCCR Radio. Derek Falvey, the man in charge of the Minnesota Twins on the baseball side, the head of baseball operations. Derek, thank you so much for your time. Let me start here with spring training. What pleased you most about spring training, and what gave you the most pause about your time in Fort Myers?
Well, thanks for having me on, Chad.
Sure.
I think back to our time in Fort Myers. It's always great to get started down there at our home away from home. And what was most pleasing was to see a young group of players continue to take the steps forward, to see the veterans who we brought in, guys with some experience and some good playoff and winning atmospheres come in. To see those guys blend together, I think has been critical. And now we get a chance to go out and step out on the field on opening day. With respect to giving you pause, I think the reality is you worry a bit about injuries or other bits of information. The Jorge Polanco news was challenging, but we're a next step up, next man up mentality team, and I know these guys will step up this year.
You lose Polanco for half the season, and you're always juggling with, you know, what you want to do with utility guys. Are you comfortable the way you've put together kind of the makeup of the 25-man roster and a little bit of the limitations you have more on the infield side compared to the outfield side?
Well, you know, we look at our club and we always prepare for injuries. I think that's the way you think about it. You go around your diamond, you say, if this player gets hurt, what's our next step? And I think in this case, while it wasn't an injury, it's similar in some ways. And we set up our team with Eduardo Escobar and Ari Adrianza, the two guys who really stepped up for us last year. Eduardo's been somebody who we leaned on late in the season when Miguel got hurt. And then in Adrianza, somebody we think has some real upside, you know, a good defender, guy who can really hit the ball, has gotten stronger this offseason. So we think we're protected there and we'll go into the year with a good complement. Losing Jorge's never easy, you know, for to have your starter go down, but we're excited about what we have in terms of internal replacement.
Isn't it fair, though, to say even if Jorge was on the roster, that those two guys would have made it? So why not then add another utility infielder so you have that same flexibility you would have had if Jorge was your starting shortstop?
Well, I think when you think about a 25-man roster and you put the bench together and you think about depth, we were already deeper than I would say the average team. It's very rare you have three guys on your major league roster who can all play shortstop. You know, typically you have the one infield backup catcher certainly, and then the mix of other positions is something that it just depends on the makeup of your club. So we felt like for us, we have that flexibility in the infield. Now we've added some impact guys on in the outfield side and get a chance for Ryan Lamar to impact us this year as well.
So let me ask you about the area that I think stands out to a few of us that was really good in the second half of the season last year with so many young guys having great runs, whether it's from June on or July on, August, whatever it might be. And then the question is, and it's there's no science in this, it's trusting your instincts, trusting their projections, but can those young guys do that right at the start of the season? What convinces you most that Buxton, Rosario, Dozier's not a young guy, but Dozier started till the last year, came on. Kepler maybe didn't jump that way, but that your young guys are ready to continue to ascend as opposed to last year in the second half could have been an aberration.
Well, it's a blend of, you said the science of it. There's no science. I think it's a blend of art and science here. You look at when young players get to the big leagues, it really takes to about that 700 to 1,000 plate appearance threshold to truly know the type of player they are at the major league level. And I think a number of our young guys got to that level last year. So we expect them to, as all young players do, continue to grow and learn from the challenges at the major league level. And we have every expectation that those guys are going to continue to take steps forward. It's not that they won't face adversity and challenges along the way, but as a collective, we feel like that group's poised to take another step forward this year.
So let me stay with Buxton. Buxton had a great spring training last year. Excuse me. He was so good that Paul started him in the third slot. And as you know better than I, it did not work out. He was frustrated, and then when he kick-started, he was one of the five or six best players in the American League when he got it going. At least looking at how Paul was batting Buxton later in camp, including yesterday against the Nationals, it seems like he's going to start Buxton more likely lower in the lineup. Do you think that helps Byron a little bit starting the season and it maybe lessens some of the pressure and expectations?
Well, I think that may be more reflective of how deep our lineup is. I think adding guys like Logan Morrison in the middle and having our established veterans, whether it's guys like Joe Mauer or Brian Dozier or others, taking up some of the top slots, I think Byron certainly got the ability to hit just about anywhere in the order. I mean, he hits for power. He can run. There's speed there, obviously. So I think that for any young player, if he can ease a little bit of the burden at the outset, it's a positive. But I fully expect a lot of these guys to grow into meaningful roles wherever they're hitting in the lineup and impact us throughout the year.
You certainly were open, and so was Thad, about pursuing Yu Darvish. And who wouldn't want to pursue an elite starter? And I'm sure offers were made, and they were for significant money. When you didn't get him, you had to pivot, and you end up with Lynn and Odorizzi. Maybe it even gives you flexibility with other players too. With all due respect to Darvish, are you better off having both of the guys you have compared if you would have landed Darvish?
Yeah, I look at the free agent season every year this way. We have a plan A, a plan B, a plan C. We keep building out plans beyond that. It's our job and our responsibility to find what the best courses are to build this team for now and in the future. And I'm really happy with how everything played out this offseason. We were patient. We found opportunities. We stayed engaged with agents at the right time. But ultimately, we had the support of Jim Polat to go out and make significant investments and put this team from a payroll standpoint at a level that it had never been before. And so I credit our ownership and our internal process from a baseball operations standpoint, to put us in a position to be prepared to strike when the right opportunity presented. And with Logan Morrison, Jake Odorizzi, and Lance Lynn, we got three guys during spring training that we feel will really have an impact for us.
Chief of Baseball Operations for the Minnesota Twins, Derek Falvey, is kind enough to join us in the home of the Twins, WCCO. Chad Hartman here with you. When you look at how Morrison impacts the lineup differently than maybe your combination of DHs and first baseman used last year, how do you think this is going to impact the games that Mauer is playing, or even the number of times Sano would slide over last year and play a few games from first base? Because it appears that Morrison's the type of guy you're going to want to have out there 130, 140 sometimes, Does that change Paul's mix? Obviously, it's a positive, but how does he then kind of cushion Maurer and Sano the way he did last year?
Well, I think it allows us to be more judicious around playing time with those guys to keep them healthy throughout the year. Ultimately, as you said at the outset of this segment, we want to play more than 162, and our goal is to keep guys fresh and impactful throughout the season. And I think that we have the ability now with Logan to DH, maybe DH Joe some days where Logan goes out to first, or even on those days when Miguel, when we face a tough left-hander where Miguel's, got an opportunity to be at that position and we can rotate. One of the things Paul Molitor did last year so well was rotate our bench guys, keep everyone engaged and fresh. I think it really helped us throughout the year. We feel we're deeper now with a more impactful lineup than we were a year ago, and we'll see how that plays out. But Logan in the middle of it really gives us a chance to impact games in a unique way.
This team's best player the last few years and the leader of this team has been Brian Dozier. He's played the way all organizations would want. He represents the organization right. He has been really a financial steal for the team and a contract that Terry Ryan signed him to. Brian has also been open saying that he'd like to be here, but it also has been open saying that he has not been approached. That obviously is something that you've decided to do, and other teams may have done the exact same thing. Can you update us in any way? Were there any talks with Brian? Or do you think at this point, do you have to then table them with the season starting and address it once the season is done?
Yeah, I think that once you get the season going, you want guys to be focused on the game at hand. And we don't want any distractions from what we're trying to accomplish. I think with respect to the long-term view, it's always a blended conversation from both sides. I think you have to think about players work really hard to get to free agency and experience what that is and understand their market values. And I think teams also understand that contracts are signed and they go through a certain date for a reason. So these are always good conversations with agents, at least they have been for me this year and even going back to last year. And we remain open-minded around the future. Nothing has been decided. But at this stage, we don't have anything significant to report.
So does open-minded mean at some point I could get a press release, June 10th that the Twins and Brian Dozier have agreed to a multi-year extension? Or are you saying, listen, let's just table this. Let's get together when the season ends so we don't cloud what Brian's working on during the year?
Well, I would tell you this. I can't tell the future all that well. If I could, I'd have much better outcomes at the end of the year. But I will say that, as it stands, once we get into the season, we typically want to table that. Things can change, certainly. But as of now, I think that would be our expectation.
Fernando Rodney, he's one of the guys who kind of fit the way he pitched last year to the way a lot of your guys played, too, because he struggled the first couple months with the Diamondbacks. Then you look at his numbers from, I think it's late May on. He was as good as anybody out of the bullpen. Were you satisfied with what you saw, considering this is a 41-year-old, and he's going to maybe take a very different approach in Fort Myers compared to some 20-year-old who's trying to make the team?
No question. I think that when you have a guy like Fernando who's been around as long as he has and has impacted major league teams for as long as he has, you give him the benefit of the doubt around how things go through spring training. I think we talk about age and his age in particular, but really what age is a proxy for is where is he at in terms of his trend of his game. And this guy still throws as hard as he did when he was 34 years old. And he's somebody who, as you said, from May on was a very consistent closer in the major league. So he takes great care of his body. He's a great guy in the clubhouse. I think all in all, have him at the back end and then backed by guys like Addison Reed and Zach Duke and others who've been there, as well as the young guys that stepped up for us last year. So we're excited about our bullpen.
Okay, on an off day before the grind is about to start, what's the rest of the day and evening like for you?
Well, right now we're in the midst of our workout here, so I'm standing in the dugout at Camden Yards watching our guys take BP. So it's a last workout day for us, and then we'll get together as a group, coaching staff and staff and otherwise, and have a nice dinner before we kick off this season. It'll be a great opportunity to get together, and everyone feels excited and is looking forward to tomorrow.
Producer extraordinaire Lindsay doubted me yesterday when I mentioned crab cakes in Baltimore. She was downplaying the crab cakes in the Baltimore area. Will you have crab cakes tonight, potentially?
You know what? I will, and I'll report back. I'll give you a report on whether or not her scouting report is accurate.
Could you get them tonight and keep them? You know, I know you got to go to Pittsburgh, and then you know maybe we'll see you Thursday. They probably wouldn't hold up real well a week later. I think we'll pass on that one.
I'm not sure you're going to want them a week from now. That's
no,
for sure.
I don't think so. Derek, always a pleasure, sir. Best of luck, and we'll talk often during the year.
Sounds good, Chad. Take care.
Derek Falvey with us on the Home of the Twins, WCCO. Circle Me Bert has been a part of the Twins telecast since 2002. Let's just give our overall view of Circle Me Bert before we get into the controversy. I'll go first. I grew tired of it by the third game. Okay, that's me, right? I'm going to be snarky, cynical. I get it, though. I get it because it's not everybody watching. It's not me. I wouldn't have, like, you know, objective, but yes, I thought I was tired by a couple months into the season. But people love to have just the dopey little hooks. Everybody clap their hands, you know, or do the wave or things like that. So, yeah, I was ready for it to move on right away, let alone 15, 16 years into it. Lindsay, Circle Me Bert.
I get it on road games. And the only reason I get it on road games is I actually think it's cool to see Twins fans in different stadiums.
Yep.
Sometimes they're clever.
Yep.
But yeah, sometimes it seemed like there was a lot of push behind it, and sometimes it felt like it was a chore for the people having to do it.
Adam, you brought a lot of signs. You were never circled.
I can't believe I'm in the same room with you people.
And you're still bitter about it.
I'm hereby offended, frankly. No, it's had its course. I'm cynical like you. But I also agree with you that people love it.
I mean,
you know, Mabel comes in from Brookings, South Dakota. She wants to get circled.
Okay, so in other words, Adam's just saying older women like Circle Me Bert, and that's it.
It's old people and kids.
Yeah.
Let's just put it out there. I mean, that's who really enjoys it.
Yeah, but there are a lot of younger people brought those signs. There were plenty of other. I mean, I agree, the enjoyment level. But there were plenty of games when Marnie or somebody else was interviewing and it was younger individuals.
Yeah, but I think the younger individuals did it kind of tongue-in-cheek.
I hope so.
It was a part of the shtick.
Yeah, you might be right. So there's no doubt FSN was going a different way, okay? And I don't think there's any doubt Bert was ticked. So Bert decided to go on Twitter yesterday and says, just informed by FSN that there will be no more Circle Me Bert and Minnesota Lottery winners for the coming season. I want to thank all the fans that made signs for 15-plus years. Does it mean you can't still bring signs? Go Twins. So that's at about 5:30. FSN, about 4 hours later at 9:45, and I'm sure at 9:45 on a Tuesday they wanted to tweet out this. Hey, Bert broke the news. We're launching a new at Minnesota Lottery winner circle concept. So fans of the ballpark and watching at home can get involved. Signs are still encouraged. Here is a preview. And then the backlash started, right? Or no. The backlash started once Bert tweeted out. Mike Rand, as he does very well, captured some of this in a story in the last hour or so. Some of the comments from directed at FSN and the lottery for the explanation. This is well before the backpedal that anybody with a set of eyes and cranium could see that backpedal was happening. Whether it was today, tomorrow, this backpedal was going to take place. But here are some of the comments. To FSN and the lottery. I'm sure the lottery really wants to be taking heat right now. You're selfish in taking away something unique that has brought me and other fans joy since we were little. Why can't you do both your lame lottery promotion and let Bert circle people? Next one. How about we not do this and instead stick with the thing that was not broken and that the fans all really like sound good? We don't need a new concept. Another one. Hey, FSN North, you're hereby eliminated from the circle. So here it is, the backpedal today. from FSN. Circle Me, Bert, started as an organic on-air element and is not going away. It will continue its original form. At Burp Live will continue to circle fans on TV. The winner circle concept by at Minnesota Lottery is separate from Circle Me, Bert, and is evolving to include more fans. Bert also is playing along after, I'm sure he was told, let's play along. I misunderstood. I doubt you misunderstood, Bert. I really doubt for a second you misunderstood. And I love Bert, okay? Circle Me, Bert, on FSN North is not going away. The Minnesota Lottery winner circle element is changing to include more fans. Now, some of it also, Lindsay and Adams, he's down to 80 games, right? More power to him, right? I mean, he had a long career. He came here. He did this job clear cut because he wanted to be the pitching coach. Didn't happen, but he's thoroughly enjoyed this. And he's carved out an interesting niche in the market. Bert does the gregarious, goofball character, doesn't care about modern analytics, yearning for the days of the past, goes to the media guide incessantly, major league level, but gets away with it because he's Bert Blylevin, Harmon, all-timer. I've said this many times. If you had a chance to know Harmon off the mic, Harmon's sense of humor and his wry wit was fabulous. Camera comes on, the straightest arrow of all.
And that Idaho boy.
And gave you nothing. You'd sit there afterwards and have a smoke with him and a drink, and you'd be like, Harmon, why aren't you doing this? I mean, it's one of the greatest experiences when I interned for 2 years here and got to know him that way. Oh, Harmon could tell some great jokes. It was funny. Bert, I mean, he'll tell the jokes. He'll do the body stuff. He just doesn't want to. He just doesn't care about all the modern stuff, that insight that's out there that you want to do. And a lot of people still want that. So I get why FSN wanted to do something different. I get also how Bert basically just throw him under the bus.
Threw him a curveball.
Yeah. Wah, wah. You know what I think he really did? I think he beamed him in the head. I don't think he threw him a curveball. He said, okay, bleep you. This is my bit. Why are you taking on my bit? I went to the Star Tribune poll a couple hours ago. And it basically was, the question was, are you happy this is going away? It was like 82% are mad. I mean, fired up. But, I mean, Lindsay, it tells you that if you think the majority of your audience wants to hear all the modern analytics and just that, you're wrong. Now, I think, and my guy yesterday, Jim Pete, I'll swear by it, he pulls it off. Because Jim puts in the work, gives the modern stuff, certainly doesn't have Bert's credentials, but Jim also has fun, doesn't take it too serious. To me, you should be able to do both. And this was FSN wanting to do something different because they got 700 other analysts. I think you're working 6 games this year in the booth, it seems like. I just am so amused. Like even a texter says, life must be pretty good when people get outraged about Circle Me. Just go on Twitter. Go on Twitter and see some of the responses to FSN North. The stories about their mother who was ill and the Circle Me Bert was like their guiding light during all this. And how can you do this?
To me, the most comical part about this is that I want to know where the lost in translation happened. Because had the message been communicated to Bert properly or had just been confirmed that he understood what the plan was for the 2018 season, none of this would have ever happened.
Oh, I differ. I think the plan was to dump Circle Me, Bert. And they backpedal. I'm only
disagreeing with you because I have a friend who works in the advertising agency, yeah. And it would not have been able to come back as quickly as it did if it were true that it had been
Adam
done.
I mean, Lindsay's connected. I really believe though, if they tell Bert that, I think there was a pretty big change.
I don't know. I think he might have misunderstood something.
Maybe?
From my experience, and I'm not saying anything other than I honestly feel like it was lost in translation. I know people who work over at Fox Sports North. I don't think that they are people who would blatantly go over onto Twitter on their own platforms and lie to protect Circle Me Bert. That's what I'm just saying.
You don't think a company, after screwing up or after feeling like they made the right decision, which I would have been totally fine with their decision, and then getting the heat for 4 hours, that they're capable of saying, we just screwed this up, we got to backpedal?
I'm not saying the company. I'm talking about people who work there who went on their individual private accounts and talked about it. It's one thing if WCCO Radio backpedals. It's another thing if I go on my own account and are like, hey, you guys have this wrong. He misunderstood.
Okay. 49 past one. Jerry has walked down to let us know about something. What's taking place, sir?
Well, we got an accident. It turns out it's going to be a fatality crash. Highway 36 eastbound at Hamlin is where this occurred. State Patrol has now closed Highway 36 eastbound at Snelling Avenue until further notice. So East 36 closed at Snelling Avenue. You can go either north or south, grab County Road B, B2, or County Road C's, or avoid the area altogether by using 694 and 94.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Sad news, but people should know what's taking place. And Jerry will have another update here in about 15 minutes. 1:49, that is your Lindus Construction Time Check. Time to call Lindus for free home improvement estimates on windows, gutters, and roofing. Okay, this story about casual dining chains, right? There are many out there, and a lot of them have suffered at times, but some others continue to flourish. So which casual dining chain, has the most loyal customers? So how do they determine this? The visit frequency, the market penetration, the share of the wallet are the main ones. Which eatery came out on top? Greatest customer loyalty.
What defines casual dining? Like, are we talking the McDonald's, Subways of the world, or are we going a step up, Chipotle,
step up.
Panera?
Step up and even a little bit higher.
Okay.
Right? Okay.
Okay, so a little bit higher.
But chains, right?
Chains. Olive Garden.
Olive Garden. Okay. Olive Garden, as I look, let's see. They listed the top 15. Olive Garden is not listed in the top 15, but good breadsticks. I mean, bountiful breadsticks. Carter, any guess here?
Red Lobster.
Red Lobster. Let's go to the top 15 here. I do not see Red Lobster. Number one is a little place I like called Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings, number one, right? Old Chicago, two.
Oh, Italian nachos.
Denny's, three. Applebee's, four. IHOP, five. Now, let me give you one. Let me give you two I'm not familiar with. Bill Miller Barbecue. You guys know Bill Miller Barbecue? We don't have it here, but and Mellow Mushroom. Let me go right to you, Adam. That sounds like something that you do often, maybe including in Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, you're those Mellow Mushrooms. Your place, Carter.
Like, I failed them. I didn't
Yes!
Guess. I just thought it was too easy.
I know. That's why I went to Lindsay first and was not given any hints whatsoever. On a day when, what was the report?
132 employees at their headquarters.
100. That's pretty big, right? And I guess, is it a shocker when you're getting, you know, new ownership and they're going to do different things? So what do you think? Why do you think Buffalo Wild Wings has that loyalty? And why are you so loyal to Buffalo Wild Wings?
I call it the suburban dad hangout.
You think is that their core customer?
Yeah, and then when you got kids, too, suddenly entering sports, then it's perfect. The kids want to go there and teammates want to go there and dad can watch the game.
I have one.
Kids can be playing games, and it's pretty easy, yeah. Simple food. Prices are decent.
Yep. I have one near me, and I see a lot of that crowd, too. You know, and I see the high school kids Who have
Yeah, a lot of high school kids are going there.
No problem hanging out there. So, Cart, you should take some credit. I mean, you'd appreciate a note from them. Maybe just an email, a thanks.
Gift card?
Exactly. That'd be pretty good. A reminder, tomorrow the Twins start, and they'll start right here on WCC. Now, I know the weather was a little iffy. I haven't checked it the last couple days, but if everything is a go, pregame show 1:30, first pitch, Twins and Orioles right here on CCO. The Wolves in action tonight. We'll be there. It's the night of our listener event, Wolves and Hawks, tap at 7:10.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.